Today it's time, I believe, for us to see the supernatural. I believe for us today we need to see a move of the Spirit of God. We live in a day when the occult is on the move. We live in a day when Satan worship is very, very real. You may not realize that, but Chuck Swindoll, I'm sure all of you know who Chuck Swindoll is, a great author, minister in the States. He was sitting on an airplane traveling. The person beside him, he got witnessing and talking to him. And the person beside him said, "Oh, no, 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 no." He said, "I'm heading to a Satan worship conference. And we're praying that so many ministries and their families that are born again will come down and be defeated in the year where he was sitting." Can you believe that? You see, all hell is breaking loose, but my Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. You see, we're on the winning side. And when the devil tries to attack, we've got to know the Word of God. We've got to come back at the enemy and say, "Devil, the Bible says the devil is a liar and the father of lies." So it's important that we recognize, even though the enemy comes in, the Word of God says when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. But you see, if we're going to really see, and if we're going to really have an impact, then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need, and I thank God that this is a full gospel church. I thank God that you believe in the movement of the Spirit of God. And Acts 1 and 8, and this as of yet, I haven't gotten to my message, okay? If you're hunting to find where I'm at, I'm not there yet. Praise the Lord. But Acts 1 and 8 says, "Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You see, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 10 and 38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power." If Jesus in his earthly ministry needed the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, how much greater do you and I need that anointing today? And you see, I believe this last revival isn't just going to be Pastor Lush. Thank God for a great pastor. Thank God for his wife. Thank God for the leadership. But these are the last days. God wants each one of you to receive a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Every one of you have a full-time ministry. You may not be called to go into Cuba or Bulgaria or somewhere else around the world, but right here in Napanee, we need that people would have the anointing of the Spirit of God within them. If you happen to be a Tim Hortons, so be it, praise the Lord. You're getting your double-double and triple-triple. I'm not even looking at John today. I picked on him so much the last time in, I had conviction about it. I did. I said to my wife, "John's going to be mad at me." And I decided, and I already broke what I decided. I wasn't going to pick on you at all. So I think you just get your coffee black, praise the Lord. No sugar in it at all. But I'm going back to the personal anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I believe in these the last days, the revival, the moving, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that God wants every one of you to be a participant. God wants to use each one of you. And if it happens to be, and I'm serious now, if it happens to be Country Donuts or Tim Hortons or Swiss Chalet, it seems like we hang out in a lot of those places. Wonder why that is, praise the Lord. We believe in the full gospel, amen. But I want you to know that I believe that people are hurting today. I believe that people's lives are messed up like never been. How many know that Jesus didn't come to condemn? Jesus come to save and deliver, amen? Man, if Jesus come to condemn, we're all in trouble, folks. But I'm so glad that he's alive today. He's the risen Savior, praise the Lord. But there is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. And because we're only here one service, if you had told me 35 years ago that I would ever be in Napanee preaching. I was a Dominion store manager in the city of Peterborough, 108 employees, the largest store between Montreal and Toronto. Sandra was with the Board of Education in different careers, and God, through a revival in the local church. You know, God wants to use the local church. God wants to fill us and get us hungry and get us thirsty. And you know, many times we get so comfortable. Hey, man, it's time to get stirred up. It's okay to get emotional. I don't care if they call me holy roller. I don't care if they think I flipped my toupee. This is real, folks. Praise the Lord. Do you know, maybe it's time that the world did say, you know, something, a little something different about that Reg Whiteley. What is there about him? What is there about? Well, his God is real. Do you know Reg Whiteley and his wife? They believe in miracles. Do you know that temple and prayer and praise, that church where they go? Man, they're peculiar people. Hallelujah. That's not what that peculiar means. It means that we're a people that have been set apart for the wonderful things of God. Praise the Lord. But God is going to use his church. And also at the end of this service, because we're only here for one service, Paul said in Acts chapter 19, he said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, we need all the power today that the Spirit of God can, that God can pour out into our lives. Out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm not talking about you put something on the sign. Many people have things on the sign and they're as dead as a doornail. What we need, hallelujah, is a Jesus that's alive. It's time for miracles today. The risen Lord, Matthew 28. And I'm only going to go to verse 5, verse 6 actually. And here the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. I want you to know today that Jesus is alive, praise the Lord. I want you to know today that he is risen. It's not like Buddha. It's not like Eastern religion. It's not like some cult. We serve a risen Savior. We don't celebrate just on Easter, but he's alive today, praise the Lord. He's alive today. It's time for us in the church to see extraordinary supernatural miracles from God. Hebrews 13 and 8. The word of God says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, we can come expecting today because the word of God says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let's look at the ministry of Jesus. What do you mean he's the same, Bob? Let's look at his earthly ministry today. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The word of God says the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me, Jesus said. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. You see, Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Then he went, he was anointed, and he went and he began to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. I want you to know, if you come into this church today and you're brokenhearted, you know, it's a rough old world out there. We can have a whole lot of stuff thrown at you. Don't think that you're not a good Christian if you're going through a hard time, you're going through a storm. I want you to know the old enemy tries to attack and he tries to get us, and no matter what. But Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. We serve a Jesus today that says, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, as we saw the scripture. He's come today, and he's saying today to you, no matter how you hurt, no matter where you're at, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, cast your every care upon him. You may have been hurt through a relationship. You may have been hurt through a church member. You may have been hurt through a spouse. You may have been hurt through some other way. Or you may be hurting so much financially. But today, Jesus is alive. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is here today. And God wants to do supernatural miracles in each one of our lives. 1 John 3 and 8. The word of God says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the very beginning. But for this purpose, why was Jesus? No, it was for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that Jesus might destroy the works of the devil. Aren't you glad there's only one place that the devil belongs? It's under your feet. Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil, praise the Lord. John 10 and 10, I quoted it earlier. The thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. You see, the thief this morning comes and he wants to kill, he wants to rob, he wants to through sickness, perhaps through finances, perhaps through broken relationships. Perhaps you're living in fear and you just can't seem to, even in the morning when you awaken, and everything that we just read about this so-called colonel that's taken place in Trenton, and you're wondering, Lord, if that happened in Tweed, if that's happening here, my life is full of fear. No. You're the chosen generation. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The Word of God says you don't have to worry about tomorrow. I want you to know God has your tomorrow in the palm of his hand, praise the Lord. You may have anxiety or stress, but I want you, it's a fact today that God wants to do miracles in your life today. He doesn't want us to stay in the status quo hurting position. God wants us, as we cry out to him, personally, you're on God's mind today. Jeremiah 29:11, the scripture says, for I know the thoughts. God's saying right now, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He's calling us by name. John and June, he knows us by name. Think about that. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. And they're thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a great future and a hope with no surprises. Isn't he a wonderful God today? That's the God that we serve. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 3. The scripture goes, I'm not sure if it's on overhead or not, but it says, now thus says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. How personal. God the Creator knows us by name. Praise the Lord. And you are mine, the Word of God says. When you pass through the water, you see, it's not always going to be easy. But when you go through difficult times, God says, I'm going to be with you. When you go through the river, it's not going to overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you're not going to be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Then Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19. The scripture says, forget the former things. And I want to stop here for a moment. Do you know many times we don't see revival because we're stuck in the past. Many times we can't get by, somebody hurt me or this happened or that happened. No. Forget the former things, good and bad. You know, great days in this church. Many people have been saved years and want to go. And even today, great things are happening. But hey, let's not look back. Let's look ahead. See, I'm doing a new thing, the Bible says. And this new thing isn't some wacky thing that somebody's trying to pull together. The new thing lines up with the Word of God. But God is moving by his Spirit. And I believe this new thing is revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I'm here today to declare in the ministry of miracles, Jesus, he's still doing it today. I'm not seeker sensitive. Jesus was not seeker sensitive. He was not hesitant to let God be God through his ministry. I would say perhaps to allow the out-of-the-box ministry to the multitudes. He was not afraid of what people thought, but Jesus was always obedient, and he wanted to do the will of the Father in and through his ministry. Jesus was not always politically correct. However, he was always compassionate. He was always sensitive to the person in need of the miracle. No matter what ripple effect it might have on the onlookers, he was anything but political. But he wanted to fulfill the will of God. You see, what seeker sensitive is, it says, do you know something? We got to be careful not to let God move too much. If we get too excited, if there's visitors in the service, they see us lift their hands, they may never come back. No. I want to let God be God. I don't want the extreme. You're going to get some extreme. That's okay. Pastor Lush will deal with the extreme. All right, brother? He'll deal with the extreme. But we got to let God be God. As the Spirit of God moves in our life, you want to say amen, say amen. Amen. You know, that's important. I believe that. It doesn't matter. Do you know, if there's visitors here, they'll appreciate more what they're seeing. They'll see, man, there's something genuine about those people. They'll see that their God is real. They really get excited about this thing. I mean, they get more excited. You know, many churches are so dead. They don't believe in miracles. It's like going to a Toronto Maple Leaf game again, and they're on the losing streak. Lost three as of last night. Praise the Lord. I still believe in miracles. I better not get on to that. But I want you to know today that we serve a risen Savior. I want you to know today it's okay for us to let God move in our church and in our lives. Don't be afraid. Do you know, I remember when I was just a boy, Sister Yeomans in a church, she would get excited. The Holy Spirit would come upon her, 87. Her little leg would go, whoop, just like that. Sister Yeomans would dance like this in the Holy Ghost. And you might say, oh, my land, what happened to Sister Yeomans? No. Do you know the presence of God filled the temple as Sister Yeomans was obedient? I'm not saying all of a sudden we all go, whoop, together. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. But my speech and my preaching, 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, it was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. Jesus went out of the box in what I call divine appointments as he saw and did miracles through his ministry. Yes, miracles resulted. I want to look at a couple divine appointments this morning as I begin to come to a close. We'll be out of here by 2:30. Praise the Lord. Order in the Timmy's, John. First divine appointment. The Samaritan woman at the well. In John chapter 4, verse 3 to 5, the word says, Jesus left Judea, and he departed again into Galilee. And Jesus said, I must needs go by way of Samaria. I've got to go by way of Samaria. Divine appointment, the ministry of Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There was an urgency. There was an urgency of Jesus, a spiritual necessity. I've got to go. I've got to go to Samaria. Why was this so unusual? In the days and the culture of this time and this encounter, you see, most Jews, when they were en route to Galilee, they traveled through the region of Perez, east of the Jordan River. They did not go through Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans had deep-seated prejudice against each other, and they were always battling and always fighting over the temple and the places of worship, the difference of views of the coming Messiah. But in spite of all of that, Jesus was no respecter of person, Jews or Samaritans. He came to all, he came to everyone, and he says, I've got to go. I've got to change my route. Do you know, I believe Jesus is saying today, I must needs go by way of Napanee. I must needs go by way of that community. There's a people there that are hungrier for God. There's a people there that have unsaved loved ones. There's a people there that they're serious and they're genuine. They want to see a move of the Spirit of God. Let's look at this divine appointment. Jesus was weary. He was sitting at Jacob's well the sixth hour. A Samaritan woman came and Jesus asked for a drink of water. Jesus said, and she was astonished that Jesus, first of all, a Jew, would ask a Samaritan, and in particular, a woman. He asked for a drink of water. And then he went on and he said, I told her he would give her living water. Jesus went on in verse 16 and says, go, call your husband. And as we know, she had five husbands, was now living with the sixth. Jesus wasn't political. Jesus wasn't there to condemn. Jesus wasn't seeker-sensitive. But Jesus cared about this woman right where she was at. And you know, there's many people in Napanee, and they don't need us to look down their nose at them. They don't need us to try to clean up. How many know we're not here to clean up anybody else's life? I've got a big enough job looking after this guy. I'm not here to point out your sins. But as we trust God, as we pray and ask God to move, then we bring the people in just as they are. Oh, God, let's bring them in. Bring in the drug addicts. Bring in the alcoholic. Bring in the hurting people. Bring in the down and outers. And then God, as they accept Jesus into their heart and lives, old things will pass away. All things become new, and they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And they, just like us, are the chosen generation. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' divine appointment, the Samaritan woman at the well. You see, this encounter with this woman could look quite ambiguous because Jesus crossed all ethnic. He crossed the moral. He crossed the gender barriers that most thought should not be crossed in that day. But as a result, this woman went into the city, became an evangelist as her life was transformed through the power of Christ. Oh God, today, let us see extraordinary miracles in our town and community of Napanee. The greatest miracle of all today is that every person here that you know, that you know, that you know that you're born again. That's the greatest miracle. We can sit in church and still go into a lost hell without Jesus. The greatest miracle today, you can hear Pastor Lush, you can hear speakers coming in, but the greatest miracle today, it's not a hope so. It's not a guess so. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. In John 3:3, you can't see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. There was a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you know, the Toronto Star, and I might have mentioned this last time in, but it had here, it says, is Michael Jackson going to heaven? We were in Toronto preaching at the time of Princess Diana's death, and people were saying, is Lady Diana in heaven? Do you think she made it? Do you think she was born again? And I stopped the service in both the places, and I said, hey, only God knows. Only God knows the condition, if they were born again or not. But I went on to say, we here today, we have an opportunity to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. People shouldn't have to look at our life and say, I wonder if you're going to make it. I wonder if they really know Jesus. I wonder if they're born again. I believe it's time for us to take a stand like never before. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We have businessmen here. We don't have to be ashamed, and I know that you're not. We don't have to pull back. Hey, we are child of the King. We are born again, believers. That doesn't mean we pressure people. We don't have to pressure people to Jesus. We don't have to shove Jesus down people's throat. But we live in a day people are hurting so bad. If we'll just let our light shine. I believe like a magnet, the anointing of the Spirit of God is going to draw people right in. You could be there doing great cement job or concrete, or you could be somewhere else with your business, and you could be there, and people will see and sense, hey, what is it about you? What is it about you? They'll sense Jesus within you. You don't have to shove it down their throat. People are hungry. People are thirsty. But there was a divine appointment. Secondly, this morning, Mark chapter 1, and I'm coming to a close, my second of three closings. Mark chapter 1, I won't be long, seriously. Jesus dared to go where no one else would go, and as a result, an extraordinary miracle. Mark 1, verse 40 to 45, Jesus cleanses a leper. And it is on the overhead, but I don't know if you can find it or not. But now a leper came to Jesus. He implored him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, Jesus, if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. Then Jesus moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand. He touched him and said to Jesus, I am willing. Be cleansed. You see, this leper. And you see, as soon as Jesus has spoken, immediately, verse 42 says, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. He was strictly warned, and he sent him away at once. And he said, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. But he went out instead of that, began to proclaim freely, to spread the matter. You see here, why was this different? Because a leper, they were an outcast of society. They couldn't go into a whole lot of areas. They had to cry, unclean, unclean, keep away, unclean. But I want you to know, in spite of that, Jesus saw that that person needed an extraordinary touch. Verse 45, they came to him from every direction as a result of that divine appointment. Number three was Mark chapter 2, where Jesus forgived and healed a paralytic man. And again, it says Jesus, after some days, he heard that Jesus was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together. There was no longer room to receive them. And they couldn't get in the door. They heard that Jesus was in the house. I want you to know, it's time that the news got out that Jesus is in the house. Nothing's going to happen because some winter guy's here. We were talking about snow. I'm just thankful it's not snowing because I'm here. I get the blame. I don't like snow anyway. But you see, it's got nothing to do with who's here except for recognizing that he's here. Jesus was in the house and the multitudes came. They came from every direction and miracles took place as their faith rised up. Mark 11 says, have faith in God. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. It's time for us to recognize, man, thank God for a wonderful church. But Jesus is in the house, praise the Lord. We need to see revival. We need to see people saved. We need, God, that you would get us excited and that we would be people filled with the Holy Spirit, that we could go forth out of the walls of this church and see a mighty move of the Spirit of God. Therefore, I say unto you, Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you're going to have them. You see, church today, if you have unsaved loved ones, let's turn it up a crank and say, oh God, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. God, we thank you. But it seems like we're so busy. And ministry is the same. We're so busy trying to survive, trying to keep this thing on the road, trying to make things happen. God, I've got to get things ready for here and there. No, no, no. Sometimes it's time for us to just let God speak to our lives. Be still and know and hear the voice of the Spirit of God. And God wants to move through our lives. And God wants to for us to see that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to skip over this next page, but other miracles all through the Word of God. Extraordinary miracles with blind Bartimaeus. Other one was the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Other one was Peter's mother-in-law. And I want you to know today, God is still doing miracles today. Praise the Lord. Just a few months ago, and I might have shared this because when you get as old as I am, I can't even remember the last time we were here, but a little baby very similar to this little baby back here, a little baby was handed to me reading a prayer line in Harmony, Winchester Church. And the grandparents brought the baby, and the pastor said, pray for the baby. She's deaf. She's deaf. And we simply were going through the prayer line. You see, I don't know what the needs are many times, and because of many times there's a large altar call, and I know that the service is getting close to the end, so we'll just strictly lay hands on the sick. God, you see their need. God, would you heal? God, here. So right there, I just took the little baby, and I said, Jesus, would you heal this little baby? And I handed the baby back. Then we went on down the line, and the pastor phoned me on Tuesday and said, Bob, you'll never guess what. The parents took the baby back to Ottawa Hospital. She was totally healed. A complete miracle took place. The baby's hearing is 100% today. We still serve a God that does supernatural miracles. Praise be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing to do with winter. Everything to do with Jesus. Hallelujah. And we've got to get excited about Jesus again. We've got to expect miracles again. He wants to do extraordinary miracles even here today. Praise the Lord. You see, Jesus always went even where no one would dare to go. He ate with tax collectors and sinners, opposite from the Pharisees. He allowed his disciples to pluck grain even on the Sabbath when they were hungry. It was in opposition to the Pharisees. On Sabbath in Luke 6, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. And again, it upset the scribes and the Pharisees. Do you know, I don't care if sometimes maybe one or two get upset over the moving of the Holy Ghost. I just want to see Jesus move. I mean, he's not going to do things out of order. He's Almighty God, hallelujah. But let's just give God some freedom and some liberty. And man, I want to see cancers healed at this altar. I mean, one after another after another. I want to see people saved and delivered. I want to see maybe people that we would classify some of the worst sinners. Yeah, God doesn't classify them like that. Some of the worst people we go and say, oh, there's no hope for them. Somebody might have said that about me one day. Somebody might have said that about you one day. But with Jesus, there is hope. There is help. There is salvation. He's not willing that any should perish. God, I pray around this altar over the next few weeks and years. I pray that people would get saved by the dozens. I pray, God, that you would begin to deliver and set people free. I pray the extraordinary miracles would be wrought. To Jesus be the glory. And God, this morning, as I close this morning, I pray as we look to the scripture, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the healer today. God, you're everything that we need today. Sandra, 15 years ago, was healed of ovarian cancer. My brother at the trailer lot over 10 years ago was given 24 hours to live. He laid in a pool of blood with liver disease at Kingston General Hospital, and he's a miracle today. He's still alive. He doesn't look as handsome as I am. Praise the Lord. You can tell him I said that. Praise the Lord. He can't help that. God gives some of us an extra special touch. Praise the Lord. As some people said, Bob, you've been touched most of your life. Praise the Lord. And if you're a visitor today, I believe it's okay for us to have a good time in church. The Bible says, happy are those people whose God is the Lord. And don't you say, you guys that know Rick, you'll say, actually, Rick's better looking than that ugly guy. That's okay. Let's leave that between the Lord. But I'm here to say today, we serve a risen Savior. I'm here to say today, do you know something? As our face differs, all of us go through difficult times. There's not a person, I believe there's not a person, if we're honest, we all hurt big time, many, many times. But as the scripture said, when you go through the hard times, when you go through the water, it's not going to overflow us. When you go in the fire, when you're in the furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see, there was another person there with them. That was Jesus. When you're going through a fiery experience, I want you to know you're not in this thing alone. Jesus is with you. Sister Margaret, Jesus is with you. As Brother Vernon, what you're facing today, Jesus is with you. And as our face differs, so does our needs. And I mean that. It's okay. You may say, well, people might not think I'm a good Christian if I come for prayer. No, 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 no. That's a lie. I want you to know all of us need prayer. All of us need a miracle. And we serve a Jesus. He's a Jesus that still today, 2010, is doing extraordinary miracles.
Then I am still.